Picture this. You've been working on landings for 3 weeks. Your instructor has been patient. Today feels like the day everything clicks. You cross the threshold, you flare, and then the airplane doesn't behave. It bounces, not a little skip, a real bounce. And now you've got about 2 seconds to make the most important decision of that flight. What do you do? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are talking about bounced landings, the decision that follows, and why the go-around you talk yourself out of is the one that gets you into serious trouble. Before we get into it, a quick word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. If you've been flying for a while, you know that the milestones matter: first solo, private check ride, instrument. Each one is something you earn the hard way. Aviation Soul makes challenge coins for every step of the journey, and they're the real deal. A great way to mark the moments that actually meant something. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about what actually happens in a bounce. Because understanding the physics is the first step to understanding the decision, a bounced landing happens when the airplane contacts the runway with energy it wasn't supposed to have. Usually this comes from one of a few places. The most common is a flare that starts too high. You're up there at 6 feet, maybe 8 feet, and you pull back. And the airplane is just floating. You wait. You wait a little more. And when the wheels finally touch, you're not really at touchdown speed anymore, and the airplane is settled in a way that puts energy back into the wings. Up she goes. The second common cause is a flat approach. You come in without enough pitch attitude in the flare, and the main gear hits hard. The gear compresses, then springs back. If there's still enough airspeed, that energy goes into lift, and you're airborne again. Third, porpoising. That's the nose gear touching first. If you level off too early or push the nose down trying to get on the ground, and the nose gear takes the initial impact, the airplane pitches nose up, the mains hit, and now you're oscillating. That is a different and more serious problem, and we'll come back to it. The physics of a bounce are simple. The airplane is briefly flying again, maybe just 3 feet off the runway, maybe 6 or 8 feet, but it is flying. And if you're not flying it intentionally, then you're in trouble. Here's where the decision comes in, and here's where most student pilots make the error. The instinct when you bounce is to get the airplane back on the ground fast. The runway is right there. You can see it. The landing was almost done, and so the hand goes back on the yoke or the stick, and you try to force the airplane down. You push forward or you just hold position and you wait for it to settle. That is almost always the wrong call. Here is why. When the airplane bounces, it has momentarily become an aircraft in flight with reduced airspeed. Maybe significantly reduced airspeed. In a hard bounce or a high bounce, the airspeed might be below normal approach speed. It might even be approaching stall speed. And if you push forward or hold the nose level trying to get back on the runway, you are flying a slow airplane close to the ground with no margin for error. Any gust, any turbulence, any distraction, and you are in a very bad place. The Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge is direct about this, and I want to quote it, because the language matters. It says that if a bounced landing occurs, the pilot should execute a go-around immediately, regardless of the height of the bounce. Not consider a go-around, not evaluate whether a go-around is needed, execute one immediately. Let me walk you through why that language is so strong. When you execute a go-around from a bounce, you're doing something the airplane is designed to do. You add full power. You establish climb attitude. You configure for climb. You fly the airplane. That is a controlled practice maneuver with a predictable outcome. When you try to salvage a bounced landing, you're doing something the airplane was not designed to do in that moment. You're trying to fly a slow airplane into the ground on purpose with reduced runway remaining, often with your attention split between the runway surface and the controls. That is not a controlled practice maneuver. That is improvised problem solving at very low altitude. The accident record is not subtle about which one ends badly more often. Now let's talk about the 2 second window I mentioned at the top of the show, because that is real. The moment the airplane leaves the runway in a bounce, you have a very short period of time where a proper go-around is clean and safe. In that window, the airplane still has airspeed, you still have runway ahead of you, and the power application will give you a positive climb gradient before you run out of pavement. The longer you wait, the more of that window closes. Airspeed bleeds off, runway disappears behind you, and now even the go-around is more difficult. This is why the pilot's handbook says immediately. Not because you have unlimited time and the manual just prefers that you hurry, because the window is genuinely short. Let me give you a scenario so this is concrete. You're flying a Cessna 172 at a 2,000-foot grass strip. You've got a light crosswind, maybe 8 knots from the left. You cross the threshold, you flare, you float a little longer than planned, and you touch down with the airplane drifting slightly right. The right main takes the energy, the airplane bounces, and you're now at about 4 feet off the runway, maybe 50 feet past your intended touchdown point. You have roughly 1,400 feet of runway remaining. At your approach speed of 65 knots, that is well over enough to complete a go-around and clear the departure end. The wrong response, you hold the yoke slightly aft, hoping to settle. The nose pitches a little higher than you intended. The airspeed bleeds to 58 knots. You touch down again, this time harder and further right. Now the drift toward the edge of the runway is your problem, and you're out of options. The right response, power to full, immediately. The moment you feel the bounce and recognize you're airborne again, the left hand goes to full throttle, the right hand establishes climb attitude. You call it out if you're with an instructor going around. You fly the airplane off the runway in a proper go-around. You turn crosswind, you set up for another approach. Clean, professional, safe. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The go-around is not a failure. Say that again to yourself if you need to. The go-around is not a failure. Every landing you walk away from was a good landing in the sense that matters most. But a go-around from a bounced landing is actually a demonstration of good judgment and good airmanship. The examiner knows it. Your instructor knows it. Any experienced pilot watching from the ramp knows it. The pilot who executes a clean go-around from a bad bounce is showing that they understand the limits of the situation and they made the right call inside a 2-second window with a bouncing airplane. That is exactly what good pilots do. The pilot who tries to salvage an unsalvageable landing is showing the opposite. Now I mentioned porpoising, and I want to spend a moment on that because it is a different and more serious version of this problem. Porpoising is when the nose gear strikes first, the airplane pitches nose up, the mains hit, and then the nose comes back down again, and then the cycle repeats. Each cycle, the oscillations can get worse. The loads on the nose gear are significant, and, unlike a simple bounce where the airplane goes up and you have a moment to assess, porpoising can escalate quickly. The go-around decision in a porpoise situation is even more time-critical. The problem is that porpoising often comes with a momentary sense that maybe this cycle will be the last one, maybe this time it will settle. It almost never does. The guidance is the same. Full power, climb attitude, get out. The only addition is that in a severe porpoise, the nose gear structure is a concern. If the nose gear has taken hard impacts repeatedly, there is a possibility of damage. After landing, you want to have the airplane inspected before the next flight. That is not an overreaction. That is maintenance culture doing its job. Let me talk about some variables that change the calculus on a bounced landing, because not every bounce is the same. A small bounce on a long runway in calm wind is different from a hard bounce on a short runway with a crosswind and trees off the departure end. The go-around guidance applies to both, but your execution and your margin look different. On the long runway, your go-around is comfortable and you have time to get organized. On the short runway with obstacles, you need to be thinking about performance. Is the runway long enough to complete the go-around and clear the end? What is the density altitude? What is your aircraft weight? These are not questions you should be answering in the moment of the bounce. They are questions you should have answered in your pre-landing briefing. Here's a practical technique that a lot of experienced instructors use. Before every approach, especially at shorter or unfamiliar fields, brief yourself on the go-around. Where's the departure end? What are the obstacles? What is my go-around power setting? What pitch attitude am I climbing at? If you have already thought through the go-around, executing it in the moment is much faster because you're not thinking, you're doing. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, are clear on what you need to demonstrate for landings, and the go-around is part of that. For the Private Pilot Certificate, you're expected to recognize when a go-around is necessary and initiate it promptly. Not eventually, promptly. And you're expected to apply takeoff power immediately, establish the proper pitch attitude, configure the aircraft, and maintain the appropriate airspeeds throughout the maneuver. The examiner is not looking for a perfect first landing. They are looking for a pilot who understands when a landing should not be completed and who can transition to a go-around cleanly. A well-executed go-around from a bounced landing during a check ride is not going to fail you. A bounced landing that turns into a porpoise because you tried to force it down might. Let me walk through what a proper go-around from a bounce actually looks like so we're speaking the same language. The moment you're airborne in a bounce, full power, smoothly but without hesitation. In most trainers, that is full throttle forward. The pitch attitude needs to go to a positive climb attitude immediately. In a Cessna 172, that is roughly 10 degrees nose up. Not extreme, just positive, you need to arrest the descent and establish a climb. Flaps. If you are in a full flap configuration, which most approaches are, you need to reduce flaps, but you do it incrementally. This is not the time to rip the flap handle to zero. You go from full flaps to the first notch up, verify a positive rate of climb, then continue retracting. Each reduction in flaps is a reduction in induced drag, but also a reduction in lift, so you confirm the aircraft is climbing before you take away lift. Trim. The airplane is going to be trying to nose over as you add power. Keep pressure on the controls and trim as you go. Letting the airplane trim itself in a go-around from a bounce is not a plan. Airspeed. Target your best angle of climb speed if you have obstacles, best rate if you have clear air ahead. Know those numbers for the airplane you fly. They should be as familiar to you as your own phone number, clearing turns. Once you're established in a positive climb, look around. You're going around. There may be traffic on downwind. There may be traffic on base. Make your radio call if the field is uncontrolled and let people know. A go-around surprises people in the pattern sometimes, and a clear radio call takes care of that. One more scenario I want to cover, because it comes up in training constantly. The crosswind bounce in a crosswind landing. You're touching down with some crab or some side load. If you bounce in a crosswind, the airplane may drift. The drift happens faster than you think at low altitude, and you may find yourself airborne and sideways to the runway at the same time. That is a compounding problem. The go-around call is the same, but the control inputs need to account for the crosswind. Add power, establish climb attitude, and simultaneously use rudder and aileron to align with the runway and stop the drift. Do not allow the airplane to continue drifting while you sort out power. You are managing two things at once, getting the airplane climbing and keeping it aligned. This is why crosswind practice matters, a lot. The students who have practiced crosswind landings to proficiency have also practiced what happens when those landings go wrong. That muscle memory is available to them in the moment of the bounce. The students who have only practiced in calm conditions are improvising. Here is the broader lesson I want you to take from all of this, and it applies well beyond bounced landings. Scenario-based decision-making in aviation almost always comes down to one question. Am I committed to a plan that is no longer viable? A bounced landing is the airplane telling you that the original plan to land on this approach is no longer viable. The airplane has taken a situation you thought was finished and made it active again. The pilot who recognizes that and responds correctly is the one who walks away clean. The pilot who refuses to let go of the original plan, who thinks, "I almost had it, just need to get it down," is the one who runs the runway, goes off the edge, collapses the nose gear, or worse. This applies to fuel decisions, to weather decisions, to airspace decisions. The pilot who can say this plan is no longer the right plan and execute a new one cleanly is a pilot with a long future in aviation. That is not a lesson you only learn at the runway threshold. That is a philosophy you build every time you fly. Let me leave you with a practical version of what we talked about today, before every approach. Brief your go-around, know your obstacles, your departure path, your climb speeds. Make it a ritual, not an afterthought. If you bounce, the answer is almost always full power and climb. Make that decision in advance so you're not making it for the first time in the moment. And if you're a student working on landings right now and they are not clicking yet, hear this. The go-around is part of the skill set. It is not the backup plan, it is part of the plan. Practice it until it feels as natural as the landing itself. Thanks to the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the Airman Certification Standards for the guidance that underpins this segment. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you in the pattern.